Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, we're remote, so that means Wells must be around here somewhere.
Yeah, I'm definitely around here somewhere.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm here, there, and all over the place. I've been home for a whopping 1 hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let's kick it off with Mr. Richmond. What's been going on up in Richmond?
Still working at the Vail. Still absolutely loving my job. So that's good. I don't think I'd started the since.
You just announced it when we last talked.
Yeah, you had just announced.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So yeah, things are going really well. I really enjoy being there, and hopefully this is the last brewery that I ever work at. So. Other than that, in non-Richmond news, I just got back from Charleston an hour ago. I saw a fish for three nights in a row and checked out a couple breweries while I was down there. Edmund's Oast, old favorite. And then Munkle Brewing, which is right across the street, is just absolutely amazing. So I'll be drinking some Munkle beer throughout the course of this recording. What about you guys?
Yeah, Jeff. The only reason I kicked it over to Wells is because, Jeff, you and I really don't ever do a whole lot, so.
Yeah, it's been really hot, so I haven't really wanted to do much of anything, to be honest. It's been busy work-wise in the last couple weeks, so I just really haven't gotten out like I normally do.
Well, believe it or not,
sometimes life gets in the way, and that's okay.
I mean, it does. You're right. I did get out. For once.
What?
What'd you do? What?
I know. Color me shocked. Finally got out to Triple C. Had been wanting to do it, and then yard work and life got in the way, and was just like, fuck it. We're going to go. So just went Saturday and had a couple of beers. I had one that I really wish I could have shared, but it was draft only, and they weren't even crowlering it, if I could talk right. It wasn't in cans or anything. It was one of those, they're kind of playing with hops and things like that. It was a really good West Coast-ish IPA, but not quite West Coast-y. Had a lot of notes of fruity pebbles and peach rings in it. It was really fucking good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a very small batch. I think they were about to kick the keg when I was there. So who knows if it's going to come back or if it'll actually get a name and, be a released beer and not just a little test batch. But it was really, really damn good.
It is nice when they run when they do a small batch like that, and then it takes off and it's successful, and then they make it part of their regular rotation. That's always I always love seeing that part of the brewery side. I mean, we spend so much time on the show talking about the positives, but so many negatives, especially in the scene right now. And it is sometimes I think we lose sight of a lot of these breweries. They are still creative, functioning, living, breathing creatures that can do a lot of fun stuff. And so that's cool. I'm glad to hear you had a good time there.
Yeah. And this was called Alpha Trials HBC 1019.
That was that name's really going to catch on.
Right. IPA. Oh, sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I know when we do these, or when a brewery, not we don't do anything, but when a brewery makes these IPAs with experimental hops, they love to, name check them. It's HBC 101979356. I get it. It doesn't have an official name yet. That's all good and fine. But who's that helping?
Yeah, that's true. That is very.
I mean, is anybody okay? So I'll ask you this: Did you leave Triple C and then go over to Hopfly or Divine and be like, oh hey, do you have any IPAs brewed with HBC 101979?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I was also ready to go home, so there was that. But that's a valid point, and I didn't even realize it, because, I'm so bad about paying attention to shit. Apparently, that beer had released the day before I got there, so.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about having it fresh. And then, of course, I had to go get Flat Brim, and so I got my
Flat Brim. Ooh, fresh Flat Brim.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Josh was quite really excited good. For that.
Well, yeah,
yes, I've been very, very excited. and finally got there and finally got to try some. So that was my adventures. Nothing exciting.
Right on. Well, you made it out of the house. That's a start.
Exactly. That's how I looked at it. I made it out of the house. That's a start. All right. Well, on to the news. First story up. We are going to put this with allegations all over the place because that's what allegedly. They are. These are alleged things.
That's what I appreciate about you, Josh.
Alleged things that have happened.
Well, it's a charge. It is. Charge is.
Yeah, we'll see. A whole whopping 9 of them. So, Salud here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's, you know, kind of a big deal bottle shop, like not just here in the city, but statewide and hell, even nationwide. What year was it that they won the best bottle shop?
Oh, I can't remember what year it was, but it was 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, they... they were a big deal, and the owner has now been charged with 9 counts of embezzlement.
Failing to pay sales tax to state and local.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried to find, because it, you know, according to the article that I put in there, was the actual official from the Department of Revenue, so I went outside of all of the news media spins that could have been put on this. And went right to the horse's mouth. They said that court was today. I tried to find anything about what happened, and I was unable to, unfortunately. But
well, we could follow up on that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll definitely be keeping up on this one for sure.
Yeah, my poor phone absolutely blew up over the weekend. I mean, I'm driving for 6 hours and just... I'm getting the text probably every 10, 15 minutes on average, just like, hey, have you heard? Hey, have you heard? I'm like, oh my God. And I just gotten a Fitbit like a couple days before and had text vibration notification turned on it too. So not only is my phone buzzing, my wrist is buzzing. I'm like, this is the longest car ride I've ever had because I can't talk to anybody. I can't get the story straight on this. Oh God, it's just frustrating as hell. So yeah, I mean, Salud's like home base for me.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was
saying. I'm way too close to this story to like really talk about it, but I'll be watching this incredibly carefully.
Yeah. There, of course, you know, if you start loitering around the local social media platforms, it sure does seem like everybody knows exactly what happened and exactly what type of person, you know, Jason is. And I mean, to your point, Wells, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to refute charges. It's not really alleged at that point. They wouldn't necessarily be going after that, you know, that kind of effort. If there wasn't something there. You just, you know, you hate to see it. You feel, as always, you feel bad for the folks that are working there that were just doing their job. And
yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
talk with a couple employees, like just to get a sense of things, and yeah, I wish everybody luck that is part of the Salud family. You just hate to see it.
Yeah, 100%. Because something that I didn't even really think about until, to Jeff's point, you know, you start kind of looking at social media and things like that, and somebody brought up the fact that if he even gets one of these charges to stick, that's a felony charge, and he can no longer sell alcohol in the state of North Carolina. And I was like, oh, shit. That's a big one. And yes, I know that I have had problems with Salud in the past, but I've put that behind me. And I thoroughly enjoyed every time that I've gone there, you know, since I've kind of grown up, I guess, if you want to say it that way, and have kind of gotten my head out of my ass. So this sucks. I mean, it sucks for the people there. I don't know everybody that works there, but I know a couple of people that work there, and yeah, I wish everybody the best, because this is not a fun situation at all.
Yep.
Speaking of other not fun situations, so Truve up in Asheville, or
Turvey,
is
Turvey.
They're closing their doors.
Yeah, this past weekend was their last one in, not just in Asheville. This is affects both tap rooms, the Asheville tap room and the Denver one, which was amazing. Like I loved both of them. They were such a good vibe. And this just made me so freaking sad.
I mean, from all accounts, Wells, the way that you've explained it, if there was ever a tap room that was built for me, it was that place.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, they were like the prototype metal tap room. Like every time I went in there, it's just like a different genre of just like peel your face off metal music playing. And the beers were all just top notch. You just, ugh. I don't know if the flood in Asheville and the decreased tourism took him out, or if it was just the general market conditions, general downturn that I don't know. I just wasn't expecting that my most recent time visiting there would actually be my last.
Yeah, that one kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know. Like, I had not heard anything bad about them. I hadn't heard that they were struggling. Hadn't heard that. I mean, like, it was just they were putting out product. It was making it here to the market. You know, their stuff was solid. But we just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You just you never know what's going on in an owner's head or. Or yeah, to Wells's point, like I know the tourism was down in Asheville because of the flooding and did that factor into the decision? I mean, who knows? The one thing that, excuse me, I did find kind of interesting is they almost made it seem like the brand itself may not be dead. Is that the way that you read that, Wells, or did I overread that?
That was the way that I read it. In terms of like both tap rooms closing, they don't really know what's going to go on with the tap room. Well, they know what's going on with tap rooms. They're done. But in terms of brewing, I think we had talked a couple, like, maybe a year ago when I was still back in Charlotte, about them going to merging their production space into like a maybe doing some contract brewing. So the brand could theoretically live on, but yeah, the tap rooms are toast.
Yeah, so it'll be curious to see what happens. again, I mean, to me, the whole point of me wanting to go there is now gone. So, yeah, they made some solid beers, but I can get Burial beer and, you know, kind of have the same, I guess, experience, so to speak, whereas I can't get that taproom experience, and that's really what I was after. So, I guess it just won't happen now.
Yeah, well... At least Turvey isn't true, whatever. True isn't the only brewery that, you know, you'd plan on visiting in Asheville. There are several others of note.
Yes, there are. There are. That's true. Speaking of, one of those being Zilliqua, which actually released their first beer since Helen.
Thank goodness, because it's been like two loser stories so far, like... Bad news, and then finally, something positive that we can talk about, y'all. Like, yes. Zilliqua is back.
I mean, for those that don't remember, they pretty much lost everything, right, Wells?
I think it was taken down to basically, like, the shell of the building, the fermenters and... bottles and everything just got swept out of there. I think the brewery was under 10 feet of water.
Yeah, they lost so much stuff. I was looking at the article. It was interesting. They were talking about how they don't necessarily want to make like a museum / memorial for, you know, the flooding and stuff, but they did want to kind of preserve some of that history. And so there's like, you know, a couple of different items that clearly had been found, you know, and were still kind of caked in dirt and whatnot. And I think that's kind of a neat nod to the past, you know, while not getting completely hung up on it. So, you know, happy to see that they're, you know, getting back open. They were the one, you know, I think Josh and I were jokingly talking about like, we're going to finally make the pilgrimage up there and we're going to hit a couple of those spots. And then, you know, Helene came through and, you know, gave us our out.
Yeah. And Helene said, nope, not happening.
Oh no! Oh, happening. We can't go now. Yeah, which I mean sucks because we wanted to, but also you know.
And what Jeff's talking about, by the way, is in the article, which of course will be in the show notes, craftbeercast.com. They have a shadow box that's got like, you know, a couple of bottles and like a water bottle and a couple of mugs and everything. And they put the shadow boxes at the height that the water was in the brewery. So,
oh boy, that's going to be hard to look at. Like, no matter where I am in there, I would have been drowned.
Yeah. One other thing that I do want to stress is that they're not officially open yet. They say it's probably going to be another month before people can actually return to the tap room. But this is their first beer that they have released since Helene. So
it's awesome. Love that. Thank you. Be ready to support that if I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I know
it's crazy.
Oh, go ahead.
Like, everything, it was for pickup only. So if you can't make your pickup window to get your beer, they're like, do not order it. If you like, this is no distro, no nothing. And it was so heartwarming to see in their stories, everybody like, I got that Zillicoa. Like I drove 2 hours and got it and welcome back. And this, that, and the other, like, it just made me feel good.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even on the can, I think it's really cool that they put established 2017, reestablished 2025, like to say, you know, hey, we're back. And yeah, that was really cool. That was really neat. I know Clueless, who listens to the show, him and I were kind of talking about that, and he was super happy that they were coming back. So,
yeah,
be prepared to support them.
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine, you know, especially for the locals, they have to just be absolutely stoked.
Yeah,
it's a growing brewery that was making just really excellent clean beer. We've had a lot of their stuff on the show. It's all been excellent. And so just, you know, you love to see it. Love to see them come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Everything that we have had from them on the show has been excellent. And I know that, you know, pre-Helene, when the rarity that they would have a bottle at my bottle shop or, you know, a four pack, I'd grab something if they were there. Cause I learned to trust them. So. Last but not least, Wells, what is wrong with you?
Oh, so very much is wrong with me.
How much time do you have?
Basically, the long story short is if I see something Malort and beer related, I'm going to post it. And this one sounds... What is this one? This one sounds like a lot of fun. It is Voodoo Ranger Roulette IPA, where they send the... Like, they've essentially made a mixed six pack where five of these cans are just like a regular IPA and one of them is an IPA with Malort.
So how do you know which is the bad beer, huh?
You don't.
They all taste bad. I don't know which one's the Malort one.
Yeah, I'm so excited and well, just that it exists. I know that I'm not gonna get it just because this is only available at the Colorado tap room, so I don't know anybody at New Belgium that could hook me up, do I? But I remember Unknown doing something like this a couple of years ago with like a pepper beer that they had, and then like one of the four pack was just ridiculously hot. The other three were just like spiced. Huh. So it'll be pretty cool. I don't know. I think it's a neat concept.
I was going to say, one thing to correct you, it's actually two cans of Hell and Hate, and then four cans of just normal hate.
Oh, my bad.
Because, I mean, who wants Juicy Ranger to begin with, and then you have the two cans that are Malort.
That sounds like a fun time to me.
That sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah, I just don't. It's a hard pass for me, guys.
I straight up have to ask this. Why is Malort becoming a thing?
Because Jaeger doesn't have the cachet that it used to be. I don't know.
Is that what it is? Because like
Malort everywhere. I'm making stuff up. I don't know.
No. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them because like Malort seems to be fucking everywhere now. It's in all these different beers and everything. It's almost like, so Do you guys remember when PBR just kind of like came up out of nowhere?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like with Malort. Like this is some like manufactured marketing thing.
Well, it's kind of like it's always been there. You just had to know where to look. It's just now that it's not as underground. It started to bubble up to the surface. The normies are getting a hold of the, you know, that trend, that culture. So I'll get you in the Malort yet. Don't worry about it.
No, you will not ever.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that could ever get me into Malort. That is, ugh. And I mean, Voodoo Ranger too. Ugh.
Oh, it's the Juice Force that I had a problem with. So, oh well. Right on. Do we have any other news?
I can't think of anything else. So, do we just want to move into what we've been drinking?
Sure. What have we been drinking, y'all?
So, Jeff.
enjoying life, having a keg of Moment of Divine Clarity.
Ooh.
Nothing like a nice, delicious, easy drinking 7% cold IPA from Divine Barrel. Makes me so happy. I actually had growlered off the rest of my Did It All for the Wookiee when this one came out, and did them side by side. And you know, the Wookiee still holds up, but man, Divine Clarity just beats the snot out of it.
I have a 4-pack of that sitting in the keyser.
Lucky. Mm-hmm.
Right, Mr. Wells.
Yeah. So fresh from Charleston, picked up Saturday. I'm going to knock my microphone over. I've got the Monk Pilsner from Munkle. It is German-style Pilsner, 5.1% ABV. It is damn delicious. I am very happy that I picked up 2 6-packs because now I only have one of them. So, yep, good stuff. Josh, what are you sipping on?
Well, just really quickly, is Munkle like a German-style brewery or...?
They're pretty European traditional. Like they'll have like a Belgian triple. They had like a Rouge. They had a Pilsner. They did have a West Coast IPA, but it's all just like traditional styles.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm hearing him say no hazy. I think is what we're hearing here.
You would be exactly right.
No
hazy. Props to them for taking that stand.
Yep.
I bet you both can guess what I'm drinking.
It's probably a Greenway IPA.
No. No, actually, in honor, or I guess in sadness of true closing, I grabbed a 4-pack, which is probably the last one I'll be able to get, Crossing the Sticks, which I'm pretty sure we've had before, but... on the show proper, but I thought I'd just grab it one more time because they're no longer. So
I missed them already.
That's what I'm drinking, and it's damn good. All right, Jeff, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
After that quick show, come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com, find our links and Patreon and all that kind of good stuff. If you want to support us that way. Otherwise, yeah. And Wells, anything for you?
You can find me at All the Wells. I'll be going through all my Charleston pictures over the next couple days and putting those out, hopefully. And yeah. Josh, where can they find you?
Besides right here, don't forget to rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody. Don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. If you want to throw news or stories or anything out there, we'll give you some upvotes and we'll shout out your Reddit username if you so wish and all that fun stuff. And other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.